Hello once again, dear Waynesboro Bible Church family. I hope all of you are enjoying these beautiful spring days. Even though the temperatures have been below average, the sunshine's still nice and warm. The grass is growing. How about that skiff of snow on Tuesday night, early Wednesday morning? If you got out early Wednesday morning, you probably saw a little of it still laying on the grass here and there. And I saw a car go by the house that must have come down off of South Mountain, still having about 2 inches of snow on top of it. Winter's still trying to hang on, but that's okay. We can enjoy the warmth of the sunshine along with it. Anyway, today is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. Here's a great thought we just received from our missionary friends in South India Baptist Bible College. He said, as the world stands immobile, filled with fear of the invisible virus, I am reminded of God's sovereignty. This virus comes as no shock to our God. It is part of His plan and purpose. So what should we do in this perilous time? That is the big question, and I believe the answer is found in Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Let's review our memory verses for the month of April. From John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, Jesus said unto her, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? It's never too late to review the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. And remember, when we're able to get back to church again, we will be celebrating Easter on a Sunday shortly after we begin worship services once more. Please join me in a time of prayer before our message today. Lord, we want to praise you for your powerful hand, the hand of God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding. We want to thank you that underneath are the everlasting arms, and we can lean upon you at any time and all the time. I want to thank you, Father, for your hand of provision, providing for all of our needs according to your riches and glory, providing through this difficult time of quarantines and economic losses. You are a faithful God. We want to pray for your comfort for those families in our church who have lost loved ones. They've entered into the eternal presence of heaven, and we want to ask that your hand would be upon the families to comfort them and assure them that we will see our loved ones again soon. So I want to pray for the Bakner family, the Benshaw family, and just yesterday we heard of the Kipe-Shaner family. A loved one in that family went home to be with the Lord. I pray for your comfort and strength during this time of grieving. Lord, I want to ask you to bring this coronavirus to an end, And Lord, when you do so, I pray that men and women will give you the credit for being merciful and for giving us relief from this terrible crisis that has affected not only us, but the whole world. And I want to pray for the reopening of American businesses in your time, when it's safe, and for the economic recovery of all American families, many of whom have suffered greatly. I want to pray that we can get back to church soon. All of our church families are looking forward to that. And we want to come back again, but we want to do so when it's safe to assemble without fear of being infected by this terrible and fatal disease. I pray that our government leaders, again, I pray that they will have wisdom in knowing when to open the doors for businesses and when to give us relief from the restrictions and the social separation that we're supposed to be practicing. I pray, Lord, for those who have lost loved ones through the coronavirus, especially those in nursing homes where they tell us now that the coronavirus is especially deadly and has taken many lives. I pray again for the doctors and nurses that are battling this every day, and some of them working very long hours and tirelessly giving themselves so that others might be comfortable and get the help they need. And I pray for those places that are still in need of medicine and medical supplies, that those needs would be met as well. I pray, Lord, that this coronavirus crisis will bring our nation to a place of spiritual awakening, that we might realize that you are God and you are in control. And there's a reason why you brought this upon the world. And we need to open our eyes and realize that there's something for us to know about you. Specifically, I believe that you're coming again soon, and people need to make themselves ready. I pray for those in our churches who are sick and shut in, those who are suffering from terminal illness, and those who are suffering from chronic pain and things that are debilitating. I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen and encourage those who are suffering. I pray, Father, that you would relieve the pain of those who are in pain. And then, Lord, I want to pray for our missionary family today all around the world. I want to pray that your hand would be over them and protecting them from the coronavirus, and that you would also open doors of opportunity for them to make known the name of God and the power of God, and that they would be able to preach the word of God to the folks that they are ministering to. I want to pray for the presence of the Lord in our hearts today. Thank you for that. Thank you for being with us even as we practice social distancing. It's good that we have the technical tools of the internet and Facebook and different avenues where we can still communicate with our folks and open the Word of God and look into the Word of God together. So we thank you, Father, for that. Thank you for your love and mercy toward us. Again, your faithfulness and your mercy, which is renewed every morning. And we want to thank you that great is thy faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of our message today is The Bare Arm of God. The Bare Arm of God. I'm going to be reading some scripture from Isaiah chapter 52 and one verse in Isaiah chapter 53. If you have your Bibles and you have found Isaiah chapter 52, you'll recognize from verse 7 that this is included in Paul's letter to the Romans, where he quotes it in Romans 10:15. It's also alluded to by the prophet Nahum in Nahum chapter 1, verse 15. I'd like to read today Isaiah chapter 52, verses 6 through 10. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing. For they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people, he hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. And then in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1, before we read that, remember that Isaiah 53 is the chapter about our suffering Savior. It includes those comforting words, Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. But verse 1 continues the thought of the mighty arm of God. And it says, Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Or to whom has the bare arm of God been made known? How important it is that we know and believe that God is full of mighty power. In these days of uncertainty and trouble, we need to know that when we pray, we are praying to a God who is all-powerful, a God who can do anything. We know that when we pray, our prayers need to be prayed in faith. May I remind you that Jesus said, If ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. If we pray for this coronavirus to end soon, we must believe that God will answer our prayer, according to His will, of course. Jesus went on explaining that some situations call for more intense praying. Matthew chapter 17, verse 21, when the disciples couldn't cast the demons out of a person, Jesus said, Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Some things need more intense prayer and fasting. And maybe that's something that we should consider during this time. The almighty power of God is depicted by Isaiah as a warrior stretching forth his strong arm as he rides into battle. Again, Isaiah 52:10 says, The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. His name, Lord, is in all capital letters. That's Jehovah, the Almighty, self-existing, eternal God of heaven and earth, the Creator. The ancient Israelites had great respect for that name. Isaiah 53, chapter 1, asks the question, To whom is the arm of the Lord Jehovah revealed. In other words, who has seen it? Who has seen the arm of the Lord in action? In ancient Israel's history, Old Testament times, and even up through the time of Jesus Christ, men would not show their bare arm. They wore long sleeves. The sleeves of their tunics or their robes or their war shirts were very loose fitting. And so when they raised their arms in the air, it revealed the bare arm, showing the warrior's strength and power in his muscles. Under normal conditions and circumstances, an Israelite, a Jewish person, wouldn't allow his arm to be revealed. It was just not socially acceptable, and it would actually be considered an act of boasting if he intentionally rolled up his sleeves or pulled up his sleeves so that people could see his strong muscles. So that was not something that an Israelite would do under normal conditions, but when he wanted to show himself powerful in the name of the Lord against his enemy, it was okay to raise his arm with his weapon in his hand and reveal his bulging muscles and his strength. And it was to the credit and honor of God. To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Who has seen the arm of the Lord in action? Who has known the power of the everlasting arms? Underneath are the everlasting arms. That question is answered in the remainder of Isaiah chapter 53. Anyone who has seen and believes that Jesus Christ suffered for our sins, that he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, oppressed and afflicted, and died for our sins as the precious Lamb of God, and that he rose again from the dead, those are the ones who have seen the arm of the Lord revealed. So, since it's very important that we pray believing that God is almighty and all-powerful, I want to talk to you today about the bare, B-A-R-E, the bare arm of God. The mighty divine arm of God, first of all. What does the Bible say about it? Actually, more than you might realize. First of all, let's go back to Exodus, where God was at work delivering his people out of the bondage and the slavery of Egypt. You remember all the plagues that Egypt had to go through before the Pharaoh let God's people go? That work of freedom was no small feat. In Exodus chapter 6, listen to this carefully, the Lord says to Moses, "Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, because I am the Lord." And then he tells Moses in verse 6, "Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments." With a stretched out arm. Again, here's the picture when a warrior rides into battle. You've probably seen pictures of this on TV many, many times. He's riding with his sword drawn or with a spear in his hand, and his hand holding a weapon is held high above his head. Whether he's on horseback or on foot, he holds his weapon above his head as he rushes toward the enemy. And when he's riding valiantly into battle with his weapon waving above his head, the sleeve of his vesture falls down below his elbow, hence the expression, the bare arm of God. That biblical phrase, with a stretched out arm, literally means with the bare arm of God. He is a warrior God who rides valiantly into battle against all the principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickednesses in high places. And He battles. He fights the enemy on behalf of you and I. This thought continues throughout the Bible. In 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 36, one of the Levitical priests is reviewing Israel's history with God's people. And he says, "But the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt with great power and a stretched out arm, Him shall ye fear, and Him shall ye worship, and to Him shall ye do sacrifice." In Acts chapter 13, Paul is preaching in Antioch, and in his message he says, "The God of this people Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with an high arm He brought them out of it." In Deuteronomy 33:27, which happens to be one of my favorite Old Testament verses, it tells us that the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, "Destroy them." The almighty, all-powerful arm of God, it's an amazing thing. In Job chapter 40, verse 9, the Lord speaks to Job out of the whirlwind and asks, "Hast thou seen an arm like God?" Then we drop down to verse 14, and God tells Job that once he finally realizes just how awesome and powerful his God is, that he will confess that God's own right hand can save him. And then God compares His own right hand with the power of Behemoth, which we believe to be a reference to one of the largest dinosaurs that ever lived, which He describes as one which moves His tail like a cedar tree, and His bones are as strong pieces of brass and bars of iron. The psalmist says in Psalm 89, verse 13, speaking of God, "Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand." This again is speaking about God's powerful bare arm stretched out or upward in battle. Psalm chapter 98 instructs us to sing unto the Lord a new song, "For He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory." In Isaiah chapter 62, verse 8, we are told that the Lord has sworn by His right hand and by the arm of His strength. In Isaiah 41:10, we are told that the Lord will uphold us by the right hand of His righteousness. In that amazing hymn, "Lead On, O King Eternal," written by Ernest Shurtleff, we find these words: "Lead on, O King Eternal, we follow not with fear, for gladness breaks the morning where'er thy face appears. Thy cross is lifted o'er us, we journey in its light. The crown awaits the conquest, lead on, O God of might." Again, if we believe that God is the almighty, all-powerful God who he claims to be, then we can also believe that God can answer our prayers and He can overcome our enemies even when they come in the form of a coronavirus or a tornado or an earthquake or whatever is threatening to harm us, even a spiritual enemy. God is all-powerful. He is able. Jesus said in Mark 9:23, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And in Luke 1:37, he said, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Do you remember that chorus we sometimes sing? Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Nothing is impossible when you're trusting in His Word. Hearken to the voice of God to thee. Is there anything too hard for me? Then put your trust in God alone and rest upon His Word. For everything, oh everything, yes everything, is possible with God. Secondly, I'd like to address the fact that God's arm is the divine arm of a victorious warrior. Today we've seen the bare arm of God outstretched as He rides valiantly into battle. But we also see in Scripture the bare arm of God outstretched as He rides victoriously in a victory parade after coming home from defeating His enemy. In Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 16, John writes, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." In Revelation chapter 6, verse 2, John writes, "And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer." This crown is the victor's crown that was given to our Savior, who will defeat all our foes, and finally cast Satan and all his followers into the lake of fire. He is the one of whom Paul speaks when he says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." The divine arm of God is a victorious arm of a warrior. And then finally, the divine arm of God's great salvation. Here we go back again to Isaiah chapter 53, and we read in verse 1 a question: "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" The Lord Jesus Christ was revealed in Bethlehem about 2,000 years ago when He became flesh and dwelt among us. As John writes, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And of Christ's suffering and sacrifice, Isaiah 53 goes on to say, "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all." Who could ever have imagined that this little baby in the manger, who could hardly lift his hand to grasp his mother's finger, would grow up, and at 33 and a half years of age, he would stretch forth his arms on Calvary's cross and die for the sins of the whole world. And whosoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. And the writer of Hebrews tells us, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Isaiah prays, O Lord, be gracious unto us. We have waited for thee. Be thou our arm every morning, our salvation also in the time of trouble. And Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. This saving grace is given to us by the mighty arm of God. Many of you have placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. And you should rejoice and thank God today for the great gift of eternal life. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. You should also renew your commitment to trust him with all your needs and for everything that you ask him. In Mark chapter 11, verse 24, Jesus said, Therefore I say unto you, What things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. If you've never asked God to save you, please listen to these words of the Apostle Paul. He said, Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. This is not a decision anyone should put off or wait till later to make. None of us know whether death might be just around the corner. On April 15th, CBS News reported that over 120,000 people have died from the coronavirus, and that number is increasing every day. 4 months ago, none of those people suspected that their life would end so soon or so tragically. Are you ready to stand before God and be sentenced either to life everlasting or to eternal death in the lake of fire? In the last chapter of the Bible, we read these words, And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Are you ready to pray this simple prayer? Dear Lord God, I come to you as a sinner today. Please, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. The sins that Jesus Christ died for on the cross. Receive me into your holy family. I accept the gift of salvation today. Help me as I begin to live for you and to seek to know you more and more each day. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, God says through the prophet Isaiah, My righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth, and on my arm shall they trust. If it has been your decision to accept God's forgiveness and his free gift of salvation today, please let us know so that we can pray for you and send you some information on growing deeper in your spiritual journey with God. Unfortunately, we've discovered that the email contact form on our contact page isn't working right now. We're working on getting that corrected. But our address and phone number is on the bottom of that page and also at the bottom of our home page if you scroll down. So please send us a note or give us a call if you've made a decision to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Thank you for listening today. I wish that each of you may have a great and blessed day in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Lord God, I thank you for your strong arm that holds us and defends us. May it also remind us that with God all things are possible. May it give us confidence when we pray that you are indeed able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. In Jesus' name, amen.